Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. I'd like to speak tonight on who will go. Who will go? In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying unto me, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." You know, if we look in the Bible, we see that God has been asking this question over and over down through the ages. And that is why the question tonight is not, is God calling? But the question is, who will go? And my father used to preach, and some of the things that he would talk about, some statistics, and way back 10, 15, 20 years ago, he was preaching about, mentioning about how that the missionaries on the mission field were getting older and older and older, and there were so few young missionaries who were coming along behind them to take up the gap. They were either getting, you know, they were old, they were retiring, they were dying, but where were the new missionaries to fill the void? And it hasn't gotten any better. 32 years ago, when my wife and I went to the mission field, we were the youngest couple in our group. And 32 years later, we're still the youngest couple in our group. There was a missionary couple that was going to come work with us. They got all their support. They were down in Miami. All their stuff was at the shippers. And something happened. And they decided we're not called. And they turned around. We've had a couple of different missionary couples that have come to Suriname. Spent 1 year. And they left. Suriname's a hard country. Suriname's an open country. We showed there the Muslims, 20% Muslim, 20% Hindu, 6 or 7% Chinese, as far as the religions would be from China, 40% animist. We have a very small portion of the Catholics or the Moravians or Baptists or Pentecostals or the other, the cults. Suriname is an open country. Freedom of religion, of witnessing. It's a country where if you work with the Muslims and they get saved and they get called back to their mother country, they can go back freely. China, India. It's an open country. You know, we need missionaries. But it's very evident that not many are going. God is calling, but not many are going. And why is this true? Is it unwillingness to heed God's call? Is it a lack of God-given confidence? Is it fear of what will be faced in God's service? And all of these things can be true, and they are true. But here in Jeremiah, we'll see how God calls His servants, how God endues His servants, and how God protects His servants. Let's pray, and then we'll go forward. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for thy love for us, Lord, thy caring for us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together this evening. Thank you for the songs that we sang. Lord, we thank you for the prayers. And, Lord, now we come to thy word. Lord, we thank you for thy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would remove the blindness that blinds our understanding. Lord, cut the cords of sin that may be binding some here. And we pray, open our hearts and teach us from thy word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, we see God's calling of His servant. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And the first thing that we see here in God's calling of His servant is that God knows His servant even before he is born. It says there, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." If you hold your finger there in Jeremiah, turn to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were written fashion, when as yet there was none of them. You know, so the Lord knows, the Lord tells Jeremiah, hey, I knew you, you know, even before you were formed. You know, when you were nothing, I knew you. And the Lord knows all of us before we are formed. Before, you know, and then he knows how we're going to be born, whether early or on time or late, you know. He knows all those things. He knows how we're going to grow. He knows what we're going to be like. He knows us. Not only does he know us, but here in verse 5, we see the Lord tells Jeremiah, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed. And before you were born, I had a plan for you. I had a job for you. And the Lord has a job for each of us. You know, as a missionary, I preach about missions. And my burden is missions. And we want more missionaries, you know. But I know that not all people are called to be missionaries, you know, to a foreign country. I know that, and we'll look at it a little bit, you know, the majority are called to be here. In the churches in America or wherever countries, to be in their Jerusalems. But whatever, wherever it is, God has something for each of us to do for him. Amen. So the question is not, is God calling? He is calling, each one. But the question is, how will you answer? Will you go? Will you do that which God is calling you to do? And so God comes to Jeremiah and says, listen, Jeremiah, I have a job for you. I knew you before you were born. I had a plan for you before you were born. And I want you to do this plan. And we'll look in a moment at Jeremiah's response. But, you know, if we think about how are we to respond when the Lord speaks to us, you know, do we understand that we are servants of the Lord? Do we think of it that way? That we're not just here to do whatever we want to do. You know? And so, if we, my father used to speak about how we are to be bond slaves. And you realize a bond slave, you know, you have slaves who are forced to be slaves, but you had bond slaves who were, they loved their master, and when they were able to go free, they said, Master, I don't want to go free. I love you. I want to continue working for you. I want to continue serving you. Make me a bond slave. They chose to stay serving their master. And we are to be bond slaves. We should love our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior. We should want to be His bond slave. You know, but I've heard many people say, well, you know, I'm willing to serve the Lord. And when they say that, you sort of hear something like, not so sure about that, you know? And the people in Suriname, they sort of laugh at us Americans because we walk differently than they walk. And so in Suriname, it's like when a person's walking on the street, the people we work with, it's like there's a strong wind pushing against them. And so they sort of lean back and they walk really slowly. Right? And they laugh at us because when we're walking, it's like a strong wind behind us, and we're walking along, you know, we want to get there. It's a difference of desire, of attitude. And many times I'm afraid when the Christian says, well, you know, I'm willing to serve the Lord, they're leaning back saying, but I hope not. Right? I've heard many college students, Bible college students, I want to serve the Lord. But what are they doing today? Where are they? They're not serving. They said they were willing. They even went to Bible college. You know? And it's very sad. It's very sad. So many are saying, I'm willing, but that was not Isaiah's attitude. When God showed Isaiah the need, Isaiah responded with, send me. So there's no doubt that God is calling. But the question is, what is your answer? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and ye shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and around the world. You know, so God has something for each of us to be doing. For the majority, it's in the Jerusalem. For some, it's to go a little further out in Judea, and for others, a little further out into Samaria. And for the few, it seems, to go around the world to some other place to serve him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And there's many times when people say, oh, you missionaries, boy, you sacrificed so much to go to the mission field. And when they say that, in a sense, we're even a little bit embarrassed, like, because we don't look at it that way. We don't look at it that way, you know. So, yes, there is some sacrifice. Others will say, you know, what do you miss? When you come back to America, what is the thing that, you know, you want when you come back to America? And I'll say, you know, one of the things about America that I like, it's the nice roads. And you may not believe this. If you live in Michigan or even over here in Chicago, I mean, the roads sometimes are horrible, you know. But it's the nice roads and construction. Getting stuck in construction. When you're on a time schedule trying to get to a meeting, construction, you don't quite like it so much. But I wish that we have had a lot of construction thrown on. I wish we did. And as many missionaries will tell you over in Africa and other places, that they would love to have construction, you know, because after it was done, then it would be a lot nicer than it is, you know. So we appreciate the nice roads. You get Americans like, you know, you punch in this GPS or the people who use their phones, you know, Google or whatever. You know, you punch that thing in. It says you're going to get there at a certain time, and it's going to be pretty close. Unless, you know, rush hour traffic in Chicago or New York or Atlanta or wherever, you know. But it's pretty good. It'll get you there. I mean, you know, you want to go to some place, punch it in, and unless every once in a while the GPS takes you to the wrong spot. But most of the time, it's great. That's nice, you know. So there's things that we miss, but I'll tell you, we don't look at it as a sacrifice. That's not in our mind, you know. And truly, because the next part of the verse says, which is your reasonable service. See, that's the problem with us today. We may look at it as, I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to sacrifice. You know, GPS has taken us the shortcut a few times already. And instead of taking us the highway, you know, around the faster way, it decides to take a shortcut, cut the corner, and take us through subdivisions. And you look at the houses as you're going through subdivisions, like, wow, whoa, that's nice. I could see how people would like to live in that house. You know? Yeah. That's what we live for. Many people live for. Right? And so, but you know, if we think of what the Lord Jesus did for us, okay? You know, dying on the cross was necessary, okay? And it was painful. But when you listen to what the Lord Jesus said, when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the hardest thing. What? When the Lord Jesus took our sins upon him and became dirty before the Heavenly Father, and God the Father turned his back, the Lord Jesus cried out. That was the hardest thing. He cried out. That hurt. So after the Lord does that for us, it is our reasonable service to give back our lives for him. You know, in Suriname, if you do something real nice for the village, you know, you've helped the village with medicine, which we've done, or schooling, or you do something nice for a village and they want to show appreciation, then they call you to a meeting and all the village gathers around, and the captain or one of the other leaders will recite what this person has done for the village. And when they get all done, then the whole crowd starts to clap, you know? Oh, God, tangi tangi fiye. Abigite abigie, moso adeye. And that's nice. That's nice. You know, but you think about it. If you know, if one of your brothers here or sisters says, hey, come help me with this job at my house. I got help. Come work on this thing with me. And you go over there and you spend a day or 2 days. You work hard and you get it all done. And when you get it all done, your friend says, well, thanks a lot. You know, I'll see you later. How do you go away feeling? You know? But if your friend says, hey, let's go out to, you know, McDonald's. No, you know, let's go out to whatever it is, you know, that nice restaurant over there, and let's go have a meal. And then you feel like, hey, okay, you know, appreciation for what you did, the help, right? How do we show our appreciation to our Savior after what He did for us? It is our reasonable service. Hold your finger there in Jeremiah. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion of them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. So the Lord Jesus was ministering. He was training His disciples. And the Lord Jesus looks out at the multitude. It says He looked out and He saw the scattered abroad of sheep having no shepherd. And He looks at the disciples and they're all like, they're not watching. They're not seeing. And so, what does He say? He says, hey, the harvest truly is plenteous. Look, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of harvest, send forth. He's not saying pray for somebody else. He says, hey, guys, I'm training for the ministry. You're not watching. You're not paying attention. You're not seeing the work. Open your eyes. Pray, Lord, here am I. Send me. And you say, well, you know, I can't do it. And that's true. We do have talents and abilities, but truly to serve the Lord in the way He wants us to serve Him, we can't do it. We do need His help, right? And so it has to be done in God's strength. And so we see here in verse 6, the endowment of His servant. God's endowment of His servant. God calls His servant, and then He's going to enable His servant to do the job. So here in verse 6, what happens? It says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. You know, Lord, I can't speak. I can't do it. Remember somebody else said that?
Sure.
Moses? I cannot speak. Truth was, he didn't want to do it. Right? And do we believe he couldn't speak? I guess possible. But he grew up in Pharaoh's home. He had the best of education. He probably could do just fine. But he didn't want to do it. And so Jeremiah's response is, oh Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And what does the Lord say? The Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 9, the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. God says, uh-uh. You know, I will give you the ability. Just answer, here am I, send me. But Jeremiah didn't want to do that. Okay? We see in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, all power is given to me. And then He said, now go, and I'll be with you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power, and then you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and around the world. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, strengthened with all might. Colossians 1, 11, His glorious power. So God will enable us. He will endue us with the ability if we will step forth. If we will say, here am I. Send me. Not only does He promise us the ability, He also promises the message. In verse 7, He said, thou shalt, whatsoever command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 9 says, He put His word in my mouth. So I'll give you the words. I'll give you the message. And then, He says in verse 8, He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He will even protect us. You know, It says, be not afraid of their faces. Are we afraid of people's faces? We are. We don't want them to laugh at us. We don't want them to yell at us. We don't want them to curse at us, get physical. We're scared of people's faces. But God says, no, don't be scared of their faces, for I will be with thee to deliver thee. So we've seen God's endowment of His servant. Let's look now at God's protection of his servant. Look at verse 18 and 19. For behold, I have made this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You know what God promised Jeremiah? It's going to be a tough job. You know, it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. But if you'll go, I will be with you. You know, you look there in verse 18. It says, listen, you know, back in those days, the cities had big walls around them. He says, listen, I'm going to be like a big wall around you. I'm going to protect you. They are going to fight against you. It is going to be hard. There's going to be lots of persecution, but I will be with you. It says, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof. That's the government. And we can see that we have today in America, government is turning against the Christians. But that's sort of new for us, but it's not new around the world. Yes, there are many, many Christians that are suffering and dying. We saw on TV or whatever on the internet a year or two ago was ISIS. And that wasn't the only place. It's all the time. Around the world, in many places, Christians are being persecuted and being killed too. So the government's against, and that's coming here. Persecution is coming. Are we willing to stand? That's a question. We don't like persecution. Are we willing to stand? Our forefathers, the beginning of the Baptists in America, they were persecuted, and they stood, and we had the freedom because of it. Maybe it's our time. I don't know. But we need to stand, you know. And it says, then it says that the priests thereof, the religious leaders. Oh, the Lord Jesus, boy, the Pharisees sure were against him, you know, to the death. And he promised the disciples, the apostles, they're going to come after you too. And they did. You know, and so the religious system of the country may be against the Christians, you know. And it says the people, you know. The day that we call Palm Sunday, and the crowds crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And a few days later, crucify him, crucify him. But the Lord promises to protect his servant. It doesn't mean that he won't let you get persecuted or even killed for him. But it does promise to be with you. In Job chapter 1, verse 10, it says that God had put a hedge about Job. You know, Psalm 91 verses 1 through 8 talks about being my fortress and my refuge. Therefore, be not afraid. Psalm 118 verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says, I will not fear. Psalm 139 verse 5 has an interesting sentence there. Thou hast beset me behind and before. And the reason why I say that's interesting because in the jungle of Suriname, the Njukasama, that we work with, when you're going to go down the rapids river or out in the jungle, then they'll say, Garuna Fesi, Garuna Baka. God before, God behind. Interesting. I don't know if they heard that verse or not, but they say it. You know? And we know, of course, in the military, when the soldiers are going out in the field, you have the point man to make sure that you don't fall into a trap, an ambush. And you have the rear guard to make sure that the enemy doesn't sneak up behind you. So God is our protection. We trust in that. So, well, you're a missionary. You don't fear. No, we're flesh and blood. We do fear. But we know the calling of God in our lives. We know the endowment that we receive from him. And we know how he has protected us through many dangers and trials. You know, when we were there in Suriname, we had a time of warfare, about 10 years of warfare. Of dictatorship and then warfare the last 5 years or so. And when you had the soldiers, the dictatorship, the trained soldiers, sort of, and then you had the jungle rebels that were fighting against them. And, you know, going up to a rebel checkpoint, and you're walking up, you're trying to be very unthreatening, and the young man holding that automatic rifle pointed at, you know, and he's shaking like this. And you think, you know what, I'm going to get shot by accident. It's because he's shaking, so I'm going to pull the trigger. And we've been through those things. And God has protected us. And we know. And sometimes you look back and say, wow, years later, it's like, some of the things we did, it was something. But God took us through. Because he said, and I can't get too far off this because it'll take too much time, but there, and I'm not trying to boast or anything, but there are missionaries in the capital city that have been there for a number of years. Most of them are gone now. But sometimes I'll meet one of them in a store in the capital city, and they'll say, you're a champion. I said, yes. I haven't met you before. I said, no, I don't come to the city very often, but twice a month to shop. But, but I don't socialize. I don't come to the city to go to missionary parties, and get-togethers. And, we haven't seen you. I said, no. Well, hey, you've been here a long time. Yeah. Have you been to that tourist spot over there? No. Have you been to that tourist spot over there? No. But you live out in the jungle. Yeah. But you've been over there. Yes. Why? Because God sent me there. But it was dangerous. Yes, I understand that. But God sent me there. You live in the worst. We lived in the war zone. We were smack dab in the war zone. Okay? That's where the bullets were flying. You live there? Yes. But we haven't been in all those tourist places. But all the missionaries have. Right? So they'll fly into a dangerous area to go to a tourist spot. Travel up the Rapids River to go to a tourist spot. But they won't live in the danger zone. Right? So God protects us. My wife and I, we heard his call, and we answered, here am I, send me. The question today is, have you heard his call? He is calling. There's no doubt of that. Very clear. He is calling. The world calls very loudly. Yeah, the world calls very loudly. And the Bible sort of shows us that the Holy Spirit calls with a still, small voice. And so if we want to hear God's call, we have to be listening. We have to shut out the world. We have to say, Lord, I want to know. Because I know that you have a job for me, and I want to know what it is because I want to serve you. Have you heard his call? Have you been listening? How have you answered? Have you answered, here am I, send me? It may be hard. It may be difficult. It may be very dangerous. But the Lord will endue, and he will protect, and you can bring glory to his name if you'll step forward. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. Thank you, Lord, that we are not here to do nothing, just to sit around. Thank you, Lord, that you save us to become your child, but you expect us to then serve thee. You leave us here on this world, in this earth, after salvation, to serve thee, to be witnesses for thee. Lord, help us. Help each of us to desire to be leading forward, saying, Lord, here am I. Show me, and I will go. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a minute. Straightforward challenge tonight from the Word of God. God calls, God endues, and God will protect. I wonder tonight, are you listening? You may not hear that call right yet. Young person, elderly, it doesn't matter, middle-aged person. But the key is, are we listening? You fully expect a missionary who's eaten up with what God's called him to do to come in and preach his burden. And those that do come through our church here, it's usually along the lines of the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. Are you listening to his call? Let's stand together tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar will be open just for a moment tonight. You present yourself to the Lord. Are you listening? Are you willing to listen? You're willing to listen with a lean forward spirit, not a lean backward posture. I remember Brother Champlin's dad, Darrell Champlin, saying from this pulpit one time years ago that when he started out, the average age of a missionary called to go was 10 years of age. Little children, they were listening. Encourage your children to listen. encourage them, as we spoke Sunday night, family altar, family devotions, on the subject of missions and God's call. The most wonderful place to live is in the very center of God's will, wherever that may be.